is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Just a really fascinating game yesterday, game one between the Celtics and the Nets. A lot of storylines, of course, going into that contest, and buzzer beater at the end, the Kyrie Irving reaction. A lot of it just adds to the flair of this opening series. Brian Barrett joins us, WEEI in Boston, on the Celtics and the Nets, game one and a lot more. How are you, my friend?
Tony, I'm doing well, man. I would have been doing a lot worse if the Celtics ended up losing that game after Kyrie Irving went off. It would have been miserable. I can't imagine what he would have been saying after the game if they actually won.
Let's talk about Kyrie for a second. Sort of remind people again, and they know he played there, how the relationship broke down. How did we get to a point where this is not just booing a guy that used to play for us, it's booing a guy they really don't like?
Yeah, so it started with Kyrie Irving prior to his second season with the Celtics. The Celtics have an event with the season ticket holders. He says, "I'll be here as long as you'll have me." So he's saying he's going to sign with the team long term. So then fast forward to the All-Star break, or I should say a couple weeks before the All-Star break, he has a game at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks. They say, "Hey, you still plan to re-sign with the Celtics?" He says, "Ask me on July 1st. So he changes his opinion then. And then at the All-Star game, he's seen on a video with Kevin Durant saying two max slots, and then he denies that report. And then they play in a playoff series against the Milwaukee Bucks, and the guy laid down and quit. They won the first game, and then he quit. So, and then last year, he accuses the whole city of Boston of being racist during the playoff series as well. So there's all that adds into it with Kyrie. And obviously yesterday, the back and forth, he's flipping off the fans. The fans are going at him, which, I mean, some fans are, like, mad about the fans. I don't really care about him flipping off the fans. I'm just happy that they won the game. But, yeah, there's a lot of history there with Kyrie. And the thing about Kyrie Irving is he always tries to deflect blame away from himself. I mean, before the series, right, this guy has the audacity. He has the audacity to come out and say, "Hey, they should remember the good times that we had at the Garden." It's like, what good times? They went. They were one win away from the finals without you. The year you come back, you lost in the first round. There's literally no good times. They were supposed to be the one seed his final year, and they're the four seed. Not to mention, he completely destroyed the locker room. Like, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. There's been no good times with that guy.
Like, so how did you put into context, like, what he was doing? Because some people would say, oh, Celtic fans got into his head, but he scored 39 points. So I don't know if that description is accurate. How do you put the way he reacted and the way he also performed?
Yeah, I don't think, he was obviously great. I mean, what he finished with, 38, 39 points. I mean, they couldn't stop him whatsoever. I mean, and there's some adjustments they're going to have to make going down the road in this series. Like, I don't think Daniel Tice can play in this series because they're just going to go after him. But, yeah, I don't think the fans, I mean, maybe they bothered him a little bit, but it certainly didn't affect him. I mean, definitely on the offensive end, it may have affected him on the defense then because the Celtics, with him as the primary defender, were 12 of 20. That's 60%. And so they were certainly going after him defensively. And it was sort of poetic, Tony, that at the end of the game, it's Kyrie Irving who loses Jason Tatum for the easy basket.
Right.
I mean, we saw that plenty of times in Boston. But it's only going to get ratcheted up now because now everybody going to game two on Wednesday night. And, man, this feels like – it almost feels like recapping NFL games because there's so much time in between these games. They don't play again until Wednesday, but I think it's going to be even ratcheted up louder. But I don't think Kyrie Irving was – I mean, Kyrie Irving was fantastic offensively for them. Their bigger issue was Durant was not good. I mean, the Celtics got into Durant. The Celtics really bothered Durant. But Kyrie was fine. But if they lose game two, I expect more stuff at the podium after the game. Because it's not going to be about the Nets losing. It's going to be about something that happened to Kyrie. That's what's going to happen.
Let's talk about the Celtics team. And they really turned it on in the last part of the season. They became one of the hottest teams in the league, one of the more dangerous teams in the league. How did they do it? What was the kick that started this incredible run towards the playoffs?
I think a lot of it has to do with Ime Udoka, right? Because, I mean, you go back to the Brad Stevens era, and Brad has done an outstanding job as a general manager, but always said that Brad Stevens, I mean, his offense, it was the Bernie Sanders offense. It's everybody gets a shot. And what Ime Udoka did is he finally created a hierarchy where Tatum and Jaylen Brown are taking the most shots, and Marcus Smart is way down on the food chain. And then he brought this defensive system where they basically switch everything. I mean, they have so many elite defenders. Jason Tatum's a really good defender. Marcus Smart could win the Defensive Player of the Year. And obviously they're without Robert Williams right now. But Al Horford at 35 playing the way that he's played this season, I mean, it's absolutely shocking to me. The guy looks incredibly spry. I mean, I thank Oklahoma City for giving him a bunch of time off because clearly he got the rest. But I think most of it, to answer your original question, has to do with A, Ime Udoka, B, Smart taking the back seat in terms of not shooting the way that he was shooting in previous seasons. I mean, they played an elimination game a couple of years ago against the Heat. The guy took the most shots on the team. Like, what the heck is that, right? So, and then the other thing is Tatum as a playmaker. He's really evolved. I mean, last year, not a great playmaker. I mean, not bad for his age. He's not going to be LeBron Harden-type playmaker. He's more in the Durant mold, if you will. But this year, he's become a much better passer. And I give Udoka credit for that because Ime said after a game, it was on the 21st of January after they had lost to the Portland Trailblazers. He said, what are you doing when your shot's not falling? Ever since that point, Jason Tatum's assists have gone totally up. So I give Ime Udoka a ton of credit for this transformation.
Yeah, let's talk about him for a second because he doesn't seem to be afraid to call out players. Like he doesn't mind going right after Jason Tatum in public if he has a bad game. It's something that Brad Stevens always would tiptoe around. That's a completely if you were on that team under Brad Stevens and now you're on this team with Udoka, that seems to be dramatically different. How have they responded to that?
Oh, yeah, he does not care, Tony. I mean, the first thing he did, he put on like some Adrian Broner video where Adrian Broner, the boxer, was like calling everybody out like the first day of practice, said, this is what I'm going to do to all you guys. And at the beginning of the year, I got to tell you, because you mentioned they turned it on really after January 1st, but at the beginning of the year, we have a coach in town, Bruce Cassidy, the coach of the Bruins. He does the same thing. And Ime Udoka was doing this after like every loss. I'm like, I don't know how well this is going to work out. I mean, this has not happened with the Celtics team. And I give the players a lot of credit because to your original point, it's totally different than Brad. And obviously they've taken to it. He coaches all these guys hard. Another thing I would say is Tatum and Brown and to a lesser extent Marcus Smart, they were going to have to deal with that because of the fact that we know that those guys wanted Ime Udoka. He coached them with Team USA going back to the tournament a couple years ago, and Tatum last year, of course, played for the Olympic team. So this is a guy that they identified and they wanted. So they knew that he was going to coach him this way, so they had to deal with it.
It's interesting that with the Celtics here because they get this two seed. And look, I get it. Every opponent in the playoffs, you got to pay attention to. You got to be tough. But they really drew a completely different team than an average 17 seed out of the NBA. So in terms of the matchup, how do the Nets match up with the Celtics? How do you see this series going, giving the close game one?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, too, because the Celtics could have avoided this. And, I mean, I was on the other side. I thought, you know, I would take the easier road. I mean, I would lose and play the baby dinosaurs in the first round, like the final game of the season. They could have lost, play the baby dinosaurs in the first round, and then play the Heat in the second round instead of having to play the Nets and then the Bucks. I give them credit for the bravado, et cetera, but I felt like it was the wrong decision. I ultimately thought they would still win the series, but I just felt like they made the road more difficult for themselves. Maybe it's something they need to do, but I just look at that Nets team, and I look at some of the stuff last night. I mean, they were getting whatever they wanted at the rim, the Celtics. They took 52 shots, and they scored 52 points in the paint compared to Brooklyn at 36. They took 36 shots in the restricted area, and the Nets took 16. So they were living in the paint, whatever they did. I don't think that the Nets have enough defensively for the Celtics, and I don't imagine the Celtics, who are the best defense in the league this season, are going to play, with the exception of what they did on Durant. They're not going to play that poorly defensively. Their defense was not good yesterday, and I hope that Ime Udoka makes the adjustment of just get Daniel Tice off the floor. He was a good pickup. He certainly helped the Celtics, but he can't play in the series because they're just going to – the Nets are looking for anything they can to attack, and you can't attack Smart. You can't attack Brown. You can't attack Tatum. And we've seen you can't attack 35-year-old Al Horford. You can't attack Derek White. Grant Williams has played well defensively, so Tice is the one weak link. I'm wondering if he – alters that. I mean, that's their hope because the Nets are not going to be able to stop the Celtics. They don't have good defensive personnel. Who the hell knows what's going on with Ben Simmons? I can't imagine. I mean, that guy's, I know he's labeled as a defender, but if he does get back in the series after having an epidural, his first minutes of the season, you're going to put him on Jason Tatum. I mean, right. Good luck.
Yeah, absolutely. What about Robert Williams? What's his status for this series? Do we have any idea?
Yeah, so the exact 4-week point, if you will, would be game 5. Now, the Celtics, it keeps getting out there. It's been reported by multiple different people, including Woj, that he's, like, ahead of schedule because they didn't do the full repair. And I guess, like, I don't know the medical stuff, but apparently when you get in there, you can determine if you can repair the meniscus or take it out. And, look, this is, like, worse for him long term. I mean, you're more likely to get arthritis with this. But they took out the meniscus. So the good news for the Celtics in the short term is that means the player can come back quicker. So I would imagine, like, if this series goes deep, we're going to see him in game 6 or 7. Ideally, the Celtics would like to end this thing early so then he can get rested up for Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks, because I mean, that's really when they're going to need Robert Williams. I believe they can beat the Nets without Robert Williams. They cannot beat the Bucks without him. They need that body if they're going up against Giannis.
Let's talk about the last play. What I loved about it was, and I was saying this earlier, I think all good buzzer beaters that are set up, not just heave shots, I mean, ones that you can get a play out of, what I like is when players really do understand the clock. They understand what they can do in that time. And Marcus Smart, knowing exactly how much time he had and the eye contact he made with Tatum, is that something, and I'm maybe too broad of a question here, is that something that has been typical of this offense? Was that a play of a surprise? As a guy who watches a lot of this team, how did you see that play?
It's typical post-January 1st, and Al Horford after the game said that if this was a couple of months ago, Jaylen would have forced a shot there. He didn't do that. He kept the ball alive. He found Marcus Smart. Ime Udoka, to your point, Tony, said after the game that Marcus Smart would have shot that ball earlier in the season, but that's the maturation process with Marcus Smart. And then Jason Tatum, I mean, he catches Kyrie Irving sleeping. So, no, that is not something that we would have seen with the Celtics team earlier this season. I thought, really, it demonstrated unbelievable poise. Jaylen not to force it, Marcus Smart not to huck up a three, which he's done throughout his career, sure. And then Jason Tatum to stay alive. And not to mention, like, right before that, how about the defensive sequence where they shut off Kyrie? Kyrie did not want to give up the ball, so he throws Kevin Durant a flaming bag of fire with 2 seconds left on the shot clock. He has no chance at hitting that. So it was unbelievable to see that. And I give Ime Udoka a ton of credit for not calling a timeout, because then the Nets can adjust. They can set up their defense, which isn't great, but they can set up their defense. They can get any good defensive personnel they have. It's not a lot, but they can make that switch, get those guys in the court. So I give Ime Udoka a ton of credit for not taking that timeout, because he did have one remaining.
Outstanding. Brian, great stuff as always. Really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot, Tony, and screw Kyrie Irving.
You got it. Brian Barrett, WEEI, up in Boston. Progressive Insurance, building your home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. We'll talk more about Ime Udoka, because, again, the head coach of the Boston Celtics doing a lot of different things than Brad Stevens on next on Wake Up Call.